Good morning. Welcome to the FTS bet slip on Wednesday, the 23rd of March. I have had an absolute disaster this morning. If you hang around with idiots long enough, obviously it wears off. And I have been today, this morning, just a complete and utter idiot. I've got a bad neck. I don't know what I've done. I think it's just sitting at a screen and sitting with my neck one way. I don't know, but my neck down my right hand side, sort of down the tendon bit that runs down the right of the neck, is absolutely killing me. It's been killing me for a while. Got worse. So I've got up this morning, taken the dog for a walk. My neck's really bad today. Had a shower, and I thought I've got to put some deep heat on this. Rub some deep heat into it. And for those of you who've used deep heat, people who've played football and things, I'm sure you've used it. It gives a quite significant burning sensation. So I can't believe I've done this. So I've got out the shower. Normally the first thing I do when I get out the shower, not that you want to know my bathroom routine, but is throw some boxers on, put some deodorant on, and I use L'Oreal roll-on deodorant, but the deep heat is also roll-on. So I've got out the shower, put the boxers on, thought I've got to sort my neck out, taken the lid off the deep roll-on of the deep heat, and yes, I haven't put it on my neck. I have applied deep heat like deodorant under my arms, and I'm in agony. It is absolutely killing me. Oh, my days. Yeah, and my neck's still bad. I don't know what to say. I'm just absolute idiot. And as I say, those of you who've used deep heat, you've probably got half an idea of how bad that is. So I didn't know if I was going to have another shower, but I just haven't got time because I've got stuff to do. So I'm sitting here with my arms strapped into my side, trying to live with it. Right, good response yesterday, obviously, to Gary's pod. I think things like that are the best one, because I think that's things that people can relate to. I think while people can aspire to, I'll say Peter Webb, Andy Richmond, maybe even me. I'm not sure many people aspire to be me. I don't know. But I think whilst you can aspire to that, actually hearing from somebody who's been around FTS certainly for a long time, you know, and by his own admission played at it, messed around at it, never really applied himself, and then, you know, obviously that was a significant moment in his life, the heart issue that forced him to focus because he lost his job. But you know, for any of you, I think that is the phase that you've got to go through, this area of focus, and that's something that I've want to help you guys with and try and get you to do. Hopefully we can. But ultimately, as I say, these things, often you've just got to do them on your own. I think the reliance on people at times, and certainly I've found that sort of, you know, and I've bought it on myself, by the way, I've gone about doing things. I'm not blaming anybody on the other end of that, where you sort of say, oh, I'll help people, but then they become reliant on you. And if you haven't got a proper structure around that, you know, and there's things I've set up where we just haven't put the proper structure in place first, in effect rushed into it to do it, then eventually it falls apart, and you can then go back. You know, great thing for me is I learn from things like that, think, actually, right, you know, I'm not, a lot of people just walk away from it, and that's the difference, you know, they'll give up or that, whereas I look at it and go, you know, even if I've got something I'm doing myself, I've set that up wrong, let's go back, draw it out again and do it, and then we can move it forward. And it might take that little bit longer doing it that way, of course, but nothing comes in a rush, and you do it. So, as I say, really pleased for Gary coming on. Got Andy next week, we'll go through. But I thought, and obviously the comments subsequently, the feedback has been very good, fantastic. So, yeah, just a thanks to Gary for coming on. Right, so today's is Mindset Monday on a Wednesday. So this one will end. There'll be straight into the pre-recorded element, which is all about a plan. So hopefully, I'm just going to talk to people about, before you actually get involved in this, the planning around it, And hopefully that'll be of some benefit for people. It may make, you know, the one thing I'm really conscious of over the last couple of years is saying to people, stop, have a look, reset, do what you do. I don't mean that in a financial term. I just think that you know, I take Cheltenham, I look at what Andy, and I'm going to put that up on the website. It will certainly be up by tomorrow when I get time. I'm going to put all Andy's stuff up that he's done for both NFL and Cheltenham up on the website for free now, so people can have a look and see what was involved. But you look at something like that, you know, I've not known Andy a long time, but just speaking to him, I had a conversation with him briefly yesterday. My chances of winning at horse racing compared to him are zero. And that's what I've drawn from speaking to him. Learned loads and that, and it's not for me, that in running, you know, I tried it last week at Cheltenham, really enjoyed it. You know, and you get almost a buzz, the adrenaline flows, but the way the price is moving, that, because it's not what I do, and it's also quick, and 1 minute you can get a £30 green, the next minute it's a £40 red, not next minute even, like 5 seconds later, everything's fluctuating so quickly. I don't know how these guys price a race up in play so accurately. Well, obviously there's not accurate, there's inefficiencies which enable people like Andy to make money, but how these, you know, these markets fall in line, you know, when... What's the difference when a horse is 2 furlongs out to when it's 300 yards out? I just don't get it all in my head. And then I look at what Andy produced for Cheltenham, you know, and that in effect isn't a massive amount away from what he does for every day's racing. Yes, you know, a lot more detail perhaps at pre-meeting, but certainly the day-to-day stuff. And I look at it and go, what chance have I got? And I think that's what I'm trying to sort of say to people, that you've got to be set up. You've got to have this plan and be set up. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And obviously, if people do then think, oh, I've got to start again, then so be it. But perhaps you can just adapt what you do to make it better. So I'm going to leave you and get into that. There is no football on the international break. I genuinely have zero interest in internationals, as you know. Said my bit about Qatar. Good to see... Louis van Gaal come out for the Netherlands and say it's absolutely nonsense. I just don't know why they don't walk away from it. Honestly, I think it really is. It's like I said when Southgate should have taken those players off the pitch with the racism thing. I just think if they all walked away from it, you've got a real chance for change within FIFA to actually look and go, look, we're doing this all wrong. But it's going to go ahead and almost, you know, Southgate again paying lip service to, oh yeah, well, we know these issues go on and it's a shame we're not going to have sections of fans there. It doesn't mean anything if you're saying it and you're still going to go and play. My view is it should all be binned, but there you go. But I have no interest in international football. All he does is wind me up, as well you know, if you go back and find some old Southgate podcasts. So there won't, bottom line, that there won't be any Friday podcast because there is no football. I'm going to be travelling up north for the do we've got up there this weekend. So the next time you will hear from me, I might have a look Saturday morning and see if there's any goals bets in the League One. If there is, I'll post them. But if not, then the next time I'll be back is on Monday. But I'm going to leave you now for a little section on planning. Hello. What I want to do in this one is talk about planning. So done a bit on goals, and these sort of go together, that you do all your goals and what you want to do, and then obviously we need a plan around how our betting trading would fit into helping us achieve some of these goals, particularly the financially motivated ones and the wanting to perhaps do this, you know, either full time or as a second income, whatever it may be, betting, trading. And I think this is really key, the planning. I think arguably, if I look at people, the planning phase is probably the bit that gets missed out. I don't think lots of people do goals or do them well enough. You know, I think people have airy-fairy goals and that's why they end up giving them up, which we've talked about. But I think when you go into anything, be it setting up a small business, whatever it may be, often when I speak and deal with people, the bottom line is, The plan, the idea might have been there, but the plan was just not good enough. And I think certainly in this game, because everybody's motivated by the finances of it and winning money, and that's what they see, and they perhaps come from casual punting or, as I say, from match betting. The actual planning phase of, this is what I want to do, this is how I'm going to do it, goes completely out the window. In effect, most people don't even have a plan. There's no plan at all. It's just, I'm going to get up and start trading. So I'm just really going to talk you through what are my views, and as with all these things, I say it pretty much every time, my views on how I'd go about this, is that no two plans are ever the same for anybody. You know, I keep saying, one of my favourite sayings is, we're all different. No two traders are exactly alike. And each plan approach will reflect you, reflect your trading style and risk tolerance. But I think everybody listening to this, again, if you want to be serious, should sit down and have a proper plan and write out and execute a proper plan, because it gives you so much more chance of success than this. And I guess it comes down to what you want out of this in the first place. Why, you know, one of the reasons I say, first things I say to people, one of my favourite words is why. Why do you want to do this? What's the end game? Why? Why are you doing it? And then when people sort of go off, you know, I want to do this, I want to, you know, pay for holidays, and go, do you honestly think the way you're doing it is going to get there? And that's it. So I'm going to go through some elements that I think you should include in a plan, but I stand by the fact that it's got to be personal to you. What I do and how I plan my life may not be ideal for anybody else in the world. You know, we're all unique individuals. And I think you've really got to look at yourself, and that's where all these elements start to pull together, your goals, your skills, and your plan, to give you a chance of success. So the first thing is, you know, are you going to be a better or trader? And are you ready to do it? So have you tested your system, and do you have the confidence that it will work in a live betting trading situation? Can you sit there and say, I've got this, that's what I'm going to do, and I know that this has got a chance of success. The only way you know things have got a chance of success is by paper trading, or testing them. You know, I'm a great one for paper trading. People poo-poo it, but with the data we can get now, you can look back at something and see how it's worked, and then you can take it forward without any risk, because we can get real-time prices, we can get real-time goal minutes, we can get everything in spreadsheets and have a look. So you can pretty much plot it forward. You can sit at your screen and follow that scenario, so you can see the exact price that you would have entered at when goals went in. You can do all that and take it forward. But if you take that, particularly trading, you know, it's a battle of people give to the market and people take out the market. And the real pros, you know, take people like Peter Webb, you know, they take profits from the rest of the crowd. So he's taking money out of that market that other people are putting into it, purely because he's better at it, and he's probably got a good plan, and he's playing people who lack a plan, and they're just giving money away after, you know, making costly mistake after costly mistake and gaff. So I think it's really important that you sit down and actually determine what is it you are going to do. And I go back to when I started, I laid the draw for 3 years, nothing else. And what are your chances of success? And the one thing I'll say now, and there'll be people who work closely with me who don't like this, is you've got to be serious about it and not lazy about it. And I think this notation that you can just follow something that other people does, even if it's following something I do, is completely wrong. You should sit, and if you've got data in front of you, you should sit and look and examine it for what may suit you. Because what I do and the swings that I may have, and I eliminate some swings, but one of my, what I would say, most solid methods has had a really bad run at the start of, end of February, start of March, run like it had never had before. But I know that that can happen. I know, you know, wasn't expecting it to happen, but I know it can happen, and I know that it will come out the other end. And why do people, you know, I'm going to get to the thing, one of the questions that people ask me is, how do you know? Because it's mathematics, and I know that how the numbers that's performing now, it's actually impossible. Unless the whole football market completely changes in the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, it's impossible for it to continue. But that will be a separate episode of this altogether. But I do think people should put more time in thinking, what actually do I want to do? Find something that suits you, and then go about how you do it and test it, plot it forward, and see if it's actually got merit. So that would be the first part of my plan is, are you actually ready to do this? What are you going to do? And what is behind it? How have you got there? You know, rather than flapping around. And that just comes to finding one thing. Just sit and go, you know, if you can find one thing, you can then scale it up, find two, three, four. But I don't think many people find one thing. I've said it many times before. Most people try and do far too much, far too early. And it's all about the money, money, money. And we need to try and get back to process. What am I going to do? This is how I'm going to do it. How can I move it forward? Risk level. How much money have you got? What financial situation are you in? How much should you risk when you're trading, betting? And it can vary depending on the method you've chosen. You know, I'd say roughly around 1-2% is probably the average, but it shouldn't really exceed that unless you know for a fact it can sustain it and you've got the mental preparation for that. And I really think that you need to get a better grasp of what is your risk tolerance than what you think other people are doing. You know, the one thing I think you'll find from this is you need to separate yourself out from what other people do. And I know there's a great community and there's people who have mates and want to pally up, but ultimately that guy, that mate ain't going to do anything for you. He's trying to do his own thing. Whatever you may think of them, you tend to find in this world, particularly when I was out doing the betting with people in the shops on the horse racing, when I sort of first gave up work and I was doing lay the draw and I'd had my days free and I used to go out in the betting shops and work for JG's crowd and put bets on, I just found how nice guys, all got on, but how dog eat dog it was. And I'll give it, just before I go, I'll give you a short example of that. There was a horse that they backed at about 33-1, and I'm going back 15 years more, and the horse price absolutely crashed, and we were in a betting shop in a Betfred, I think it was, no, was it done? Yeah, Betfred I think it was, or whatever it was called before Betfred, before they rebranded it. And the there was three of us. There's the guy who ran the bets, and he basically had promised the guy who wanted the bet. How this works is a guy rings up and he says, I want £200 each way at 33-1. They get him the £200 each way at 33-1 by breaking it up to different people in the shops, but then they want some on their own. So there's a guy and three of us in the shop. Because the price had crashed, he only had like 120 quid on at 33-1 total. And he's got to return this guy 200 at 33-1. I had a bet for myself, £20 each way at 33-1. And I said to, because he's a good friend of mine, I said, here, leave me out. You just have that and add that to your figure. He's got 140 now at 33-1. There's another guy stood with us who had 30 each way for himself at 33-1 and gave him nothing. Now, they're good friends. He didn't say, I have 10 of this there. He just, that's my bet, I'm keeping that. And the horse won and ended up shafting my mate for a good few quid because he had to pay out 200. So he was like 60 quid light at 33-1. And I just, in that world, I learned good friends, good people, but it's just dog eat dog. It's every man for himself. And whilst all these connections are great, and I think on FTS we've got a great community, ultimately you are in this for yourself. It is quite a lonely world. And to expect that other people are going to be this great, you know, I like to help people, and you know, people question those motives, whatever it may be. I love helping people. It's as I say, it's one of my goals, something that makes me tick. But I look at some of these groups and I think, Would he help you? Would he genuinely help you if you're in trouble? Would they do that? Would they? No, of course they wouldn't. Most people, it's just human nature. Most people, they wouldn't. So I really do think that you've got to look at your own risk level and what it means to you. And then you have to obviously bet within that. You set your bank to that and you bet within that. And then there's a plan for your staking. You know exactly what you're going to be involved in, what your staking is going to be. And now all of a sudden we're starting to get things take shape. We then get to the actual sort of day that, you know, we've got this, we're starting to build this plan. We've set some goals. We've gone down the road. We've set goals. We've found what we're going to bet on. And we've tested it and we've moved it forward and we know it's going to work. We've set a risk level now and bank to use on that. And I'm going to do a bit on staking, but setting that bank absolutely bomb through, really understanding what could happen. So you then get up on the day and think, right there. And one of the biggest things is, are you mentally prepared to trade? And this comes down to so many factors. And one I talked about previously is if you're betting purely to win money, putting yourself under pressure, you are almost certainly bound to failure. I find that the hardest thing to help people with, because you're always trying to find something that is a quick, I need to get them XYZ quickly, I need to get them XYZ quickly. And of course you go down a road and then it has a bad run and it becomes really difficult because there's no plan to it. There's no let's do this there, because they haven't got any money behind them. So the pressure to win money becomes more. And I think that is really key. I ideal world, I'd love everybody to do this full time, but it's an actual step-by-step process. And I think if you can do things like match betting in the background that gives you some income, then I think you're much better off. So it's that how are you mentally on that day? You talked about sleep. Have you got enough sleep? Have you been having a ruck at home? You know, are the kids playing up? Whatever it may be, because if you've got other things preoccupying you, and you know, we hear of people missing trades and trying to do it on the run and this, that and the other, if you have got these distractions going on, and I understand again that everybody wants to automate things, I've made my views on that, I think that's fine in elements but not the sole outcome. If you're flaming angry, whatever it may be, you're distracted from what you're trying to do. And I think you've got to have and know, and I've talked often about how my trading now very sort of zen-like, you know, doesn't stress me at all. You know, if you treat this as a business, distractions would be really costly. And one of the things that sort of Sam knows, even though I'm at home all the time, is that if there's trivial things that come up, you know, if there's obviously something serious, she'll interrupt me. But if there's trivial things come up, if I worked in a bank, she wouldn't be popping in going, oh, you know, whatever, the dog's peed in the garden, whatever it may be. And I think you get into that sort of thing at home sometimes where, because you are at home, that it can become all a bit too relaxed. It just wouldn't happen. It just wouldn't happen in a normal working life. So if you look at it as a normal working life, you are better missing a day and saying, I'll just, if we need to do something or there's trouble going on at home, whatever it may be, miss a day. And again, we all have our own issues. I've got several things going on at the minute in my life that aren't really ideal. That you've got to, you're better just missing a day rather than trying to execute trades, bets, when the frame of mind isn't right. You know, if you're doing set and forget, I'm a great one that you shouldn't miss a bet. But trading you can pop in and out of, and if you miss a day, it's not really going to change your life. But set and forget, obviously, particularly if you're doing horses and you miss a couple of 12-1 winners, that might make your month. But obviously there's less time involved in set and forget. You can just put the bets on those. You can automate, I've got no problem with it, and go. So I think, you know, remember it's a business, and if you are going to try and do it, anything less than 100% and anything less than fully focused and with other distractions going on. And it's one of the reasons why I don't watch a lot of football, because it's just a distraction that distractions ultimately will probably end up costing you money. Doing your homework. And I think, again, this comes down to, again, being on the day. I have done all my work. You know, I maintain databases daily. I've got processes that run daily. I've done all that work before I sit down and start betting. So I know, and I've got a list of exactly what games I'm going to look at, what I'm looking for it to happen in those games, what I'm going to execute in those games, and whether I'm going to exit for loss, whatever it may be. I've got it all written out. So we have a long-term plan, but then we need a day-to-day trading plan of this is what I'm doing today when I sit down, and I am not going to deviate from it in any single way. So every game, you know, and this is why I say to people, start off with one method than loads. You might have, I don't know, let's say five lay the draws. You know what the games are, when they kick off, what price you're going to enter at, what you're going to do when a goal comes. And I talk about these things like if a red card, well, what do I do now? That should all be factored in. If there's a red card, I'm in or I'm out or I'm whatever. You shouldn't be asking yourself those questions when they happen. And it actually really annoys me when I see it. People asking me, you know, I've had a couple of racks with people over that. Why are you asking me? Why are you asking me what you should do if there's a red card? Red card, Ian, are you staying in? And I said, I'm getting out. Nothing. I don't pay a lot of attention to red cards. Personally, that's mine, and I remember somebody saying that, and I said, right, you show me what effect a red card has. You go and show me. Only way you can show me is you collect thousands of games where there's games without a red card and games with a red card and show me the difference. I can show you that there's not much difference because I look at that sort of info, but but it's more the plan. If you want to exit on a red card, exit. Don't be asking people at 3:35 when the game's in play, right, there's been a red card, that's enough for me, I've been that game, move on. You take a small red and move on. You can always move on and live to fight another day. So you need your homework done, and when you sit down, you're ready to go. This is what I'm going to do. That should just become part of your long-term plan, a daily plan in amongst your long-term plan. So you've got all those things set up when you go. Record keeping. I just think, you know, it's something that should be part of your plan. And again, it all falls in. Goals, skills, plan. If you haven't got the skills for record keeping, if you haven't got the mentality for record keeping, if you haven't got the attitude for record keeping, you are hindering yourself. So if you need to learn Excel minimally, and I only have, you know, I've got better at it over the years and different things that I add, but to get started, you only need minimal Excel. It's something that just people make chronic excuses about all the time. Just keep records. And if you haven't got the skills, learn Excel. There's loads of stuff that you can do and on YouTube and Google, whatever, to learn these skills. And if the worst comes to the worst and you don't want to use Excel at all, get a pad and write it down. Yes, it's obviously more long-handed, but write it down. So again, what's your plan for when the day's finished, getting that down into a method that is eligible, that you can make some sense of what you've actually done that day, as opposed to just obviously our profit or loss tells us how we've got on, but how have we got about there? Because that is where you can look and go, I can improve that, or I'm making mistakes there, or I'm binning there. And another part of your plan then should be analysing what you've done. So in a world, we've gone and we've found something that we want to bet on. So again, I'll say lay the draw. So we found whatever. We want to lay the draw between 4 and 6 in Bundesliga, Belgium, I don't know, Turkey, Japan, Holland, when there's an odds-on favourite and they're above them in the table. I'm just throwing some criteria. That might be your game plan. There, we then need to be able to go in a process and analyse that forward, and firstly analyse your day. Have you made any mistakes that day? Have you entered when you shouldn't? Did you get everything right? Did the matches meet the criteria? You know, are you checking odds that if it is odds on, were you absolutely certain? Did you look in the morning, they were 1.8 and you thought that'll qualify, but when they've kicked off, they're 2.2. Massive drift, star player got injured in the warm-up. Have you checked that sort of stuff? Analyze what you do, and then we can use that along with our record keeping to maintain these results and tweak it. And again, I do it, tend to do it a couple of times a year. Is what I'm doing on track? Is it how I expected? Is it working? Is it over? You know, you'll have periods where things overperform, and then you can always expect for them to track back. So again, the couple of methods that I talk about, the one where I said I've lost a load of points, it's probably overperformed for the best part of 12 months. So it's just a little bit of correction. Happened to come very quickly, but it will carry back on again. And similarly, you know, I had some lay the draw half times, had an absolutely flying period, and then a sort of more losing static period. That naturally happens. And once you start to keep records and analyse things, that data makes your decisions for you, and then you're not too hasty to change or say, shall I give things up? And as I say, I'm going to do a section on the mathematics of things, which is really where I can make my decisions on whether to keep something going or saying, actually, that is in the bin. But what I'll say on that, and again, if you've got this plan, you've got your records, you've got your analysis, when you go on a bad run, just like when you go on a good run, neither of them last forever. So if you're on a good run, it will not keep on winning just in a straight line forever. It will dip down. And if you are losing, and this is obviously the one that affects people most, so things are dropping down, you know, like I said, 37 points in a week, one of mine lost, went right down. It's completely impossible for that just to keep going. The market prices don't allow it. It is impossible that could just keep going down. There will be a period where it comes back up. But because I've got a plan, because I've got a structure to everything I do, because I've set out that's what I'm going to do, I've researched it, I've got my attitude to risk, so I know I can absorb it. I've set a plan for what I'm going to do on a day-to-day basis. I've got it, and then I can record keep data of it all. I can put all that together to do my own analysis and say, yeah, okay, it's not. Of course, it's not nice when it's happening, but that's just part of what we're going to go through, and it's going to go back that way next week, week after, whatever it may be. The point of all this is, if you don't do any of that, what I've just said, in effect, you're getting up going, I'm going to have a bet. And I think most people just start and pick it up and think, oh, I'm going to start trading today. I'm going to start betting today. And I think your chances of success are absolutely zero. I think you have two choices, and that is to set out and start to function to goals, long-term plan, daily betting trading plan with list of games and things you're going to get involved in, or your second choice is that you're going to fail completely. That's genuinely where I see it. You know, and part of what we want to do is take people now into this process and help them build it. But as I say, it's individual. What I do, part of the issues I've had is I'm trying to get people to do what I do, and they're completely ill-equipped for it, either ill-equipped time-wise, ill-equipped physically, ill-equipped mentally to do it, in ill-equipped financially. So all those areas then, don't make me wrong, and I'm not using it to shift any blame because I make massive mistakes, but don't make me wrong. It's wrong for them. It's wrong for them at that time, and it actually has very little chance of success until we can get this plan, which is individual for that person. What do you want to do? How are you going to do it? What time have you got? What money have you got? What structures around you have you got in place? What distractions have you got? Till you remove all that and actually get it down and say, this is where we are, then that's it. And I will maintain for everybody, if you start with one method and you learn to ride the highs and lows and you cut everything else out, you will be more successful than you are probably being now. And I'll maintain that. I've proved it with people numerous times. But obviously going forward, we want to then escalate that out to a portfolio because we want people to have, you know, when something is going wrong, something else is all right. So the swings aren't quite so big. It's very unlikely you'll have a portfolio where everything's crashing at the same time. Can happen, but it's very unlikely that happens. So if you've got three or four things that you can tap into, but everyone has been built out the same way with a plan, then you have got, for me, a much, much better chance of success. Analyse your skills, know what your goals are. Now you've put a plan in place long term and a daily trading plan, betting plan. Once you put all that in place, your chances of success become much better. And I think then you get into what we'd call disaster, you know, avoiding disaster, if you like. If you treat this as a business, you know, I often compare it to other jobs. You know, reading a few books, going on a couple of chat rooms and forums, and then diving straight into the markets, that's not a plan. That's no plan at all. Yes, I'm a great one for reading. I think books help, but that isn't a plan. A plan is actually, you know, that's just a recipe to go all pear-shaped. A plan is something that you should do as if you were setting up a business, and you wouldn't go and open a sports shop just by reading a book on tennis, thinking, oh, tennis rackets are good, and then perhaps reading a quick book on business and think, oh, I can go and open a shop now. You'd do a lot more planning behind how you're actually going to run that shop, stocks, costs, this, that, and the other, time that you need to put into it. And I think time is a massive issue as well. I think that people don't underestimate the time, thinking that they can just get up and sounds great, can it? Oh, we can all do this on a couple of hours a day. Sounds absolutely great. I think those of us who make good money at it, the one thing we would all have in common is a huge amount of time we put into it. I'm trying to manage my time better now. Because it's became a little bit too time consuming. You know, I struggle to get everything done on a daily basis in time for kickoff, because the football program's so different now. You know, starting at 10, 11 o'clock on Saturdays, Sundays, when you used to be, you know, 12:30 German Bundesliga 2. So you adjust your plan, because I can't want to be involved in those games from 10 in the morning through to late at night. So they become part of my daily plan then. Can I afford to admit leagues that start at that time, these sort of things? So I think time is a massive thing. Time, finances, the stress you're under, distractions, all these things you need to get a plan for. And what I will say is it can be done. You know, it is up to, ultimately, it's up to the individuals to sit down and say, this is what I'm going to do. This is an individual game, and I'll stand by that. I will help people as much as I can. Others will help, of course, but ultimately it comes down to the individual. Right, that's it. So that's it for this one. And I'll be back with more, hopefully, words of wisdom for you next week.